At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome, everyone, to the SI Media Podcast. I'm your host, Jimmy Traina. Thank you for listening. We have Richard Deitch, who covers media for The Athletic and has his own podcast on the show this week to do a full potpourri of sports media topics, cover everything that's in the news regarding sports media, the John Heyman tweet situation, Adam Schefter, athletes dominating the podcast landscape, NFL scheduling, Al Michaels on Thursday Night Football. A lot of topics covered with Richard, who does an excellent job covering sports media. And then following Richard, Salicata joins me as always, as he does every week, for Train of Thoughts. We read Apple reviews this week that have come in on the pod. If you're listening to this podcast right now, go to Apple, leave a review, 5 stars, write something. We will read it on the podcast in a Train of Thoughts segment. Before we get to Deitch and Train of Thoughts, just a reminder, if you've missed any recent episodes of the SI Media Podcast, check them out in the archives. Mike Tirico, the voice of Sunday Night Football on NBC, was on last week. Kevin Burkhart, the voice of Fox NFL Football, was on 2 weeks ago. Joe Buck, the voice of Monday Night Football, was on 3 weeks ago. We had Jim Nance on the pod recently, Chris Russo, Dan Lebatard. So in the archives, check them out, subscribe to the pod, leave a review. All right. Let's get to this week's show. Richard Deitch on all the latest sports media news, followed by Salicata and Train of Thoughts right here on the SI Media Podcast. All right, joining me now, breaking our string of NFL lead play-by-play guys, to have one of the stalwarts in sports media, the old host of this podcast from The Athletic and his own podcast, Richard Deitch. Richard, how are you?
I'm good, Jim. You know, I was going to come on kayfabe you, try to be a character here, but instead I'll just be me. I will say this, in all seriousness, Mike Tirico, Kevin Burkhart, Joe Buck, Jim Nance, Kevin Clark, Richard Deitch. That's bad booking by you at the end there. And I'm not trying to be self-deprecating. I'm not trying to flagellation here.
Yes, you are.
But you have had major guests in the last 5-6 weeks. And I know we have talked about this off air. Booking is never easy. It's always a challenge, especially if you don't have a booker. But man, I mean, you have gone from multi-million dollar people, very, very famous broadcasters. And it clearly, I am guessing that you were struggling desperately this week for a guest. And in that, I'm happy to come on.
One, trying to keep the expectations low. I've spoiled the listeners. Now we got to throw a clunker in there.
Right.
No, and the truth is, you know, I booked you a couple of weeks ago. Here's the deal. This is what the podcast is. The podcast is we have interviews with big players, like you just said, we try to. And then I like to break it up every 4 or 5 weeks by having you or Marshan or Oran or Brian Curtis on to do the state of sports media. So you guys are always going to be staples on this podcast as long as, you know, I'm here. And when we do the interviews mainly, but we like to mix in a little what's going on in sports media. So who better than you?
No, I respect that. And obviously, if there's a similarity in all of these podcasts, I would say the similarity is probably closest to me and you in that kind of format. I think we certainly have different guests, but in terms of not doing a like straight, here's the state of sports media this week, the way that Marshawn Olerin, as a general rule, do, and Brian Curtis does, although he extends it beyond sports media. So I think in terms of all the people who are doing this, we're probably the closest. You know, John Lewis at Sports Media Watch is viewership oriented. If I'm missing anybody, my apologies. But yeah, no, I'm listening. Happy to do it. And there's a lot to talk about. There's a lot. You know, this month has been incredible when it comes to television. I know you're not the biggest soccer guy, but it's been an incredible month.
Well, okay, so let's start there. I'm not a soccer guy at all, but this is what I know just as someone who follows sports media. I haven't watched the World Cup, but I do know that Fox has gotten, from what I can tell, very good ratings. I don't know if they're great, but they seem like they're very good. But everything I've seen from media people is that they hate Fox's coverage. So as someone who's not paying attention, can you give me a little summation of what's going on there?
Should I give you a little Brian curse? I think that's right, Jimmy. That's pretty close to accurate to me. Viewership has been very good in relation to where this tournament is. You know, it's in Qatar, so it's 8 hours ahead. So you're never going to get NFL viewership, right? Because, you know, it's just it, like games are on at 5 a.m. Eastern time, 10 a.m. Eastern time, 2 p.m. Eastern time. But they've beaten 2018 by a lot. Some of that's out of home viewing for sure. But they're up over the last World Cup in Russia. They've gotten very good viewership, Jimmy, surprisingly, for some games that have nothing to do with the U.S. I think that's always a good sign in terms of, you know, soccer's growth or world soccer's growth. Mm-hmm. They did very, very well when it came to the U.S.-England game. They did well when it came to the U.S.-Netherlands game. You know, they're drawing like big college football viewership numbers, like a little bit over. I don't have it in front of me, but like, you know, when you're drawing like 15, 16, 17 million, like combined, like that's a big number for soccer. You know, you start getting into the NFL conversation, at least low level NFL. So I think they have to be very, very pleased with viewership. When it comes to the coverage, this is just my opinion. I mean, I've written this. I'll probably write it again. I'm sure I'll have a podcast on it as we conclude with the World Cup. I happen to think Fox's game broadcasting is pretty good. The addition of Ian Dark, I think, was phenomenal. It brings you essentially a number one broadcaster into your roster, and he's like number three or number four during the World Cup. So that just makes you have really good depth. Derek Ray is a fantastic broadcaster. John Strong, to me, has gotten better. Stu Holden is their number one analyst. I think he's gotten better. So the game broadcasting is pretty good. They've lived up to their promise when it comes to showing national anthems, showing walkouts. And in general, I think that has been good. Some will disagree. That's my take. Where they've gotten crushed, Jimmy, and rightly so, is the studio. I have never seen a world, at least in terms of me covering sports media, I've never seen a World Cup rights holder been crushed more than Fox has when it comes to this World Cup. People do not like the studio. They think it's dumbed down. They don't particularly like, I think, many of the specific studio analysts who are there. I would argue that you never learn anything about the tactics of other teams. It's very Americanized, which is okay if you would, I think, extend that beyond the U.S. national team. So in terms of someone who loves soccer and reads a lot about soccer and follows the people who really who are really into the sport in terms of globally, they've really – I'm just going to be blunt. They've really hated Fox. They have not liked the coverage. The problem is they're stuck with them. Fox has this right. 4 years from now. I don't know when the – you know. I don't know when the bid is going to open up again. FIFA didn't open up the 2026 bid to other, you know, to the ESPNs of the world. So I hate to say it to viewers, you're just kind of stuck. You just have to hope Fox improves on its coverage. And then lastly, I know I've gone long a little bit and we haven't even gotten into this, Jimmy. They punted on everything when it came to the human rights issues in Qatar. They literally like decided not even to touch it.
But is that surprising?
No, not surprising at all. They said they wouldn't. So in that sense, they were honest about it. But
yeah, like it's Fox. I'm not going to expect them to.
It's just an. I mean, to me, like not mentioning it at all is just an incredible abdication. I think you should just, even if you're going to not mention it, should give it sort of some kind of surface mention. And then others, you know, they're sponsored by Qatari Airlines. They're really, really in bed with the Qataris in this World Cup. And so you got to hold your nose a little bit and watch it, even though it's not, you know, it's not a great experience, certainly when it comes to the studio.
All right. Well, that's a good summation. I appreciate it. We're taping this hot on the heels of John Heyman saying Arson Judge was going to sign with the Giants.
Yeah.
I mean, you know that I consider you one of the pioneers of Twitter, even though you took a break.
Yeah.
Do you think the fuck up comes from the desire to be first on social media, or is there another reason why this would go so bad and so wrong?
So now you're talking more about the fact that he didn't sign with the Giants, not the autocorrect, right? Or are you talking both? Okay,
no, like, that he didn't sign with the Giants.
Yeah, it's like the auto. Well, let's just do the autocorrect first. Like sometimes, like autocorrect, like becomes one of the more famous Twitter things, right? If the autocorrect turns out to be like just like a weird or unexpected word. So in this case, arson is like funny. Arson itself is obviously not funny, but Arson Judge is funny. Right. And you're seeing all the famous like GIFs and memes that are out there. So, you know, he gets burned on that. And that's just, you know, that's just getting unlucky, I guess, on autocorrect.
Well, the autocorrect to me is telling because it makes me think
it's speed
that
right?
he was pounding that phone so hard with his fingers because he was terrified of Jeff Passan or Buster Olney or Kevin Rosenthal beating him to the story that he, you know, spit out Arson Judge and didn't care because he's terrified of those other people beating him.
Arson Judge. I mean, I apologize for laughing. It literally will last for 40 years.
That's like, it.
You will basically like know that name forever. Listen, it's a bad fuck up. Like, you know, all of us have made mistakes. You just when you make that kind of mistake, it's bad. It's the most prominent player in the sport. It's one of the most famous teams when it comes to the Yankees in professional sports. And you had the guy going to a team where he didn't end up going to. Like, it's bad. So undoubtedly it is about speed. All of us, obviously, I shouldn't say all of us, but you know, it's a competitive business. And yeah, I have no doubt that Heyman wants to be Joel Sherman. Well, not Joel Sherman because he's his partner. But yeah, John Morosi, Ken Rosenthal. I mean, these guys all get along, actually. The baseball guys are pretty good about giving credit. But they're all competitive, too. They want to be first. And that's a bad one.
What's bad about it is the only person who would care about him being first is maybe – I mean, I don't even know.
I'm not even sure Heyman, his bosses do. Do you
Let me finish the thought. Let me finish the thought. I don't even know. So Heyman works, I think, for MLB Network and The Post.
Right.
Okay. So maybe the people who pay his salary there want him to be first. But in terms of sports fans and people on Twitter, nobody cares. Like, do you – we're taping this shortly after Judge signed with the Yankees. Do you know who broke the story?
I don't know.
I rest my case. It's like nobody cares.
I'm curious. Do you know who it is, though? I'm actually curious.
I don't either.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because what happens is someone may break it, but then 20 writers all at the same time say, I'm hearing confirmed, accurate, first, who had it. You know, it's like, but nobody cares. It's strictly a Twitter thing.
I think the writers care, obviously. It's a bit of a competition among them, and I get it. Trust me, I'm not taking myself away. You know, I would have loved to have beaten Marchand on Al Michaels going to Amazon. But the weird thing about this one, Jimmy, and both of us, we've talked about this many times, is Heyman's not getting paid by Twitter, right? There's no monetization for Heyman unless, like, the New York Post hired him because he has the reputation of being first or having like a ton of Twitter followers, which is possible. But you're totally correct in that, like, 2 minutes after the transaction happens, nobody remembers who broke the transaction. It has no real meaning. The only way you really get fucked is if you're wrong and people remember that. Now,
well, because I want to piggyback off one thing you said, because if you think about it logically, what the system should be is, okay, let's say John Heyman thinks Aaron Judge signed with the Giants. He was wrong, but at that time when he tweeted, that's what he thought. So logically, what he should do is write a paragraph or two for NewYorkPost.com that Aaron Judge has signed with the Giants, and the Post should, because that's how you That's how you monetize.
Yes.
But instead, it goes on Twitter where nobody gains anything from it. Now, obviously, that would have been bad because he was wrong, but I'm just using that as the example.
Yeah, no, true. And, you know, this is where, again, you know, you have editors who can save you, you know, because you can, you have somebody in the back before you publish that on New York Post.com who says, hey, you sure about this? Like, how should we phrase the wording of it? I don't remember the, you can remind me, did Heyman say he signed or was it more like he's leaning? Was it a definitive?
I believe the exact wording of the tweet was, Arson Judge appears to be headed to the Giants.
Okay, appears is a little bit of a couch. Right. So you saved a little bit on that. You know, listen, I put myself on here, although I feel like I'm much better now in 2022 than I was certainly in, like, you know, 2015 or 16. In many ways, like, the addiction of Twitter, like, prompts you to, like, hit that drug, right? To, like, get another hit. And there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of, like, what's the word I'm looking for? When you get attaboys or congratulations on Twitter, it's a big ego boost, right? So if you are the person who breaks the Aaron Judge story, you broke the biggest story, off-season story in baseball. Like, we would agree, right? That's – I don't think there's a bigger signing. So I get the desire to get that out there. But, man, like, I looking at it from 10,000 feet below, I would rather be last than make that kind of mistake. Like, to me, what would be awful is to be known as the person who fucked that up. And there are some reporters out there, right, who have a reputation now of, like, they get mocked almost because people – the baseball fan doesn't really believe, and I'm not saying this is Heyman, but sports fans don't believe when a certain person sometimes breaks something because that person's been wrong before.
Right. And I do think Heyman could have been saved a little teeny tiny bit if Judge would have eventually signed with the Giants.
Yeah, no, I think he
comes out.
I don't think
Wednesday
anybody would have. Yeah, I don't think anybody would have. Actually, I don't think he would have. There'd be no issue, right? Because people might laugh at the arson part, but he would have been right. And then people would have just remembered, I think, that, oh, yeah, Heyman was the guy who said that that Judge signed with the Giants. You know, the thing about that in that I mean, again, you could not – I'm very honest here with the audience. You could not pay me any amount of money to be Schefter, Woj, Heyman, or those guys. It seems like a miserable life to be that connected to your phone, to be that indebted to agents, to, like, sort of live that. Like, $10 million to me is not – is not worth it. But within that framework, Jimmy, like, I think these guys, like, I think they're so, I think a lot of their identity is tied up, right, in the transaction breaking, that it must be hard not to try to win all of those. And the reality is, I'm not saying an agent gave Heyman bad info, but you're not going to be right on everything. And so I'd rather have never break any of those stories and never be as wrong as he was on the Judge one. But long term, I don't think it impacts anything. I think we've seen with ESPN and Schefter and others, like, these organizations don't seem to care, right? And by the way, I'm not putting what Schefter has done to what Heyman did here. I'm just saying, like, it, as long as the organization paying you a shitload of money doesn't care, there's, like, no ramifications.
Right. Here. Well, I definitely want to get into that with Schefter. I'll just say this last thing about the Heyman situation. I do think, I mean, listen, obviously, I wrote this in my column on Wednesday, like, the level of screw up matters. If Heyman.
Does it though?
Well, if Heyman gets the.
Reputationally,
know,
maybe, but not. What happens if your employer doesn't care?
No. What I'm saying is this. If Heyman would have got Jameson Taillon wrong, it's a lot different than getting Aaron Judge wrong.
100% agree.
And I also think who makes the mistake matters. Now, I'm not going to ask you to comment on it because that's not fair to you. But I do think if this was Rosenthal who made this mistake or Passan, the vitriol would not be as bad. But Heyman does not seem liked by a lot of people out there.
Yeah,
the
I agree. No, I'm happy to comment. Look, but first of all, I've always had a good relationship with John Heyman. When he worked for us at Sports Illustrated, you know, I didn't deal with him a lot, but when I dealt with him, I liked him. You know, I had no issues with him. Again, I didn't work with him on any kind of daily basis. I would agree with you, though, that it does seem like, at least if we're going to use, like, the Twitter universe, Jimmy, as a as sort of our, you know, as we're sort of basing it on, it seems like Rosenthal, Passan are more well-liked. I don't know if it's I don't know why that is. I can only guess that maybe – you know, Rosenthal is pretty mild-mannered, Passing can be, I guess, it'll have a little bit of an edge. I don't know why that is. I'd have to ask a base. I'm not as into the baseball weeds as I am on some other sports. So I would think a hardcore baseball person probably would be able to tell me that.
What was the thing Passing got in trouble for a few months ago? I don't even remember now.
Oh, yeah. He was going back and forth with Ben Verlander, and then he made like a blowjob.
Get on your knees, right? Or something like that. Yeah.
The problem there is Disney's not going to like that kind of reference.
Yeah. That probably made people like Passan even more.
I think it was in reference. I forgot what it was, but it was in reference to somehow Otani was part of that. I don't remember exactly.
It was get on your knees. Someone else, and who got in trouble like this week because they said about eat dicks. Somebody got in trouble like last week for saying that in a tweet.
If you work for Disney, that's going to be.
It was a player.
I don't know who that is, but I'm saying. As a general
it was a
rule,
player that everyone. Oh, Lamar Jackson. That's who it was. Lamar Jackson.
Oh, he got the Ravens were bothered by that language.
I think eat dicks is a derogatory comment. It's now thought of as an anti-gay comment.
No, I know. I understand that. I mean,
that's why he apologized.
I get it. Like that's not a great play for a quarterback to tweet. But I didn't know if he was. I didn't know if that was in relation to like the NFL find him or
he was fighting with a reporter.
If you're Lamar Jackson, again, I don't want to be so cavalier because like I don't know what it would be like to be a star quarterback, Lamar Jackson, and have all my social media feeds just seemingly endlessly all day just a series of miserable people attacking you. But there's just never an upside, right? Like you, if you are that level of athletic fame. Your response becomes the story. It doesn't even matter what someone said to you often beforehand, right?
The lesson here is between Jeff Passan saying get on your knees and Lamar Jackson saying eat dicks, don't tweet about the penis in a derogatory manner and you won't get in trouble. But people can't seem to do that, so they get in trouble.
I never thought we'd go down this road on a podcast, but I think that's generally speaking very good advice.
Thank you.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
All right. Now, the Schefter thing, here's my issue with let me start with this. What did you make of Schefter's ESPN.com story on Deshaun Watson is showing progress in treatment?
Yeah, awful. I haven't really understand some of the decisions Schefter has made in the last couple of years. Let me say, as somebody who has always had a very good relationship with him in my position, I think he's done a lot of good work. I am not so quick as others are to sort of blast him, but there have been some things he has done, Jimmy, that are just indefensible. He comes off, in the last couple of years, he has come off way too much of carrying water for agents, or like it seems like to me, regarding an agent's particular clients. And has been so tone deaf, it feels like, to the larger issues at hand, often very, very serious issues, sexual harassment, sexual violence. Right. I'm not even trying to cop out on my answer. I'm just befuddled by the tone deafness. Like,
Well, I have a theory on that.
My last one on this. It seems sometimes that Schefter is so into the transactional nature of his job that he forgets about the humanity of what he's tweeting about, because there are people behind this stuff. So,
well, that's the other thing,
too.
You
can't defend. I mean, the short answer is a lot of the things he has done lately, you cannot defend. It's just unbelievable.
And you made one of the points I've tried to make about this, in that he's a transactional guy. His job is, this guy's hurt, this coach is getting fired, this guy's signing here. And then he comes in with the Deshaun Watson story. It seems so out of left field that he would be the one writing that story. And I do think what I find interesting about Schefter constantly having these issues is that it's never as big as a story as if someone else who doesn't work at ESPN, if someone outside of ESPN did what he did, they'd get blasted so much more, because no one at ESPN is going to call out Schefter. So if someone from Fox Sports or Bleacher Report or SI or The Athletic writes that story, all the ESPN people are going to trash that writer. Whereas when Schefter does it, they have to sit it out, and then he ends up getting even more of a free pass than he gets just because he's ESPN's top guy.
Well, so a couple things on that. I mean, the Deshaun Watson story was really bad, just in that, like,
made him look like a fool. Deshaun Watson doesn't admit he did anything, and then
anonymity of him giving quote unquote sources, right, like in relation to what he is saying about Watson's progress, when Watson himself is not saying anything, when Watson himself has never come out and formally apologized, it's pretty unseemly. In terms of the past, Jimmy, I don't think Schefter gets a pass in the quote-unquote court of public opinion, but, and this is an important but, there he is on the highest of high lifts of front-facing talent who has juice and power and leverage at ESPN.
He has the Jordan rules.
He's in the Stephen A. Smith stratosphere.
Yeah, he has the Jordan rules.
I don't think he will ever do anything where it would put him in really bad stead with ESPN management. I mean, they are paying him whatever it is, $9, $10 million a year. And he is an excellent newsbreaker, unquestionably so. And so I think they have clearly made a decision that they are willing to deal with the fallout of some of this stuff in turn for Adam Schefter's, like, access, right, and contact. So the ESPN has told you, just to be blunt, they don't care.
Right.
So where the net result of all this is, he takes a hit, like, in the court of NFL public opinion and on Twitter. But that's it, right? I don't think anything else changes from it. I'm not saying that's a good summation. I just think that's the reality of it. Like, now, you are 100% right. If that is being done by the ESPN's beat reporter of the Texans, right, or Dolphins, that person is in major trouble. Like, that, I don't know if that person's getting like suspended without pay, but that person's probably getting pulled from their job for a little bit after their ESPN boss talked to them. So that's the difference. You are right. Like, he has, I can't tell you how many people at ESPN who are sort of front-facing people have Jordan rules, but he's one, and Stephen A. is one, and Aikman and Buck are one. It's not the longest list. Yeah, Woj, but there are, there's like probably 10, Herb Street, people who are paid a ton of money.
Right.
And people who have longstanding relationships with management, they're treated differently. Quite, by the way, in the exact same manner that when me and you worked at SI and Rick Riley was there, the rules were different for Rick Riley than they were for Jimmy Trane and Richard Deitch.
Right. 100%. The Schefter Mr. Editor thing, that was
horrible. Yeah.
That was the one that really, I think, pulled back the curtain for a lot of people.
I think the Dobbin Cook ones and stuff like that are worse than Mr. Editor.
But here's my issue with that.
One's a journalistic sin, right? The other's just, like, horrific, like, in terms of humanity.
I also think when you're dealing with the players like that, I think Vikings fans and NFL and his fantasy owners, they're not going to get worked up over it. Whereas the Mr. Editor thing, everyone was like, what is this?
How do you feel about, I mean, I don't really want to continue going to Schefter thing, but this maybe is more of like sort of like for like a hardcore journalism seminar, but do you have any issues with him giving significant gifts to the people who are his sources and give him information? That's something, as you know, both of us at Sports Illustrated, we probably would be fired for that. Right. I guess we would never do it unless we told our employer. But as a general rule, the old one at SI used to be like, you could not accept a gift more than, it was either 50 or 100 bucks. Like, it just, like, you wouldn't even ever go down that road, you know?
I 100% get where you're coming from with that question. And I understand that the whole, but I don't, if I'm going to like just try to think about the reality of the situation, I don't think the gift is impact. Like, I think people use him to get information out there. I don't think the gift, you know, what is he saying? A bottle of Jack Daniels. I don't think that's going to affect much. I think he's protecting people. Well, I shouldn't say he. I think all writers protect people who are sources. I'm not sure the gifting is, you know, that much of an issue.
So you're not going to be two dozen bagels from your favorite bagel store on Long Island to Troy Aikman this week, is what you're saying.
I'm not. Right. You know, I'm gonna take the podcast on a completely different path right now. Yeah, we're gonna go on a completely, because you had mentioned about if it was another writer, they'd be on suspension.
Maybe. You know, I said it could, they could be. I don't know for
and
sure.
When you said that, it triggered something in my brain, and it wasn't on my list of topics, but you would be the perfect person to discuss this with, because you are into media. And this is totally
not
out of left field.
Not as much as I used to be, but yes.
So I'm going to throw this. Why are those two anchors from GMA3, Amy Robach and TJ Holmes, getting suspended and pulled off the air because they're having relations? It's ridiculous. Yeah. Let them still do their show. No one's affected by that.
Yeah,
there's not a power dynamic there. He's not the boss. She's not the boss. So why can't they?
So those morning shows are just ridiculous, as you know. Like, they're always been like a funnel of information to the Page Sixes of the world. I mean, you know, both of us are New Yorkers. Like, over the years, how many times has the New York Post like literally done a cover on something that involved Kelly Ripa, Michael Strahan, you know what I'm saying? Like, literally, like, Lauer, you know, all that shit that's gone down.
Right.
I guess if I'm going to answer this, one, I think if you are having a relationship at work, you have to let HR know. So I'd be curious to see if they let HR know or not. But in terms of, yes, consenting adults having a relationship, or quite frankly, consenting adults even having an affair, I don't know if they should be pulled. I feel like they're being pulled because
they don't want to. That ABC doesn't want to be on the cover of the Post every day.
Yeah, right.
They're on the cover of the Post every day this week.
That's why I think they got pulled. Is they just want to stop the story? Don't you?
Did you see the Post cover that said "Moaning News"?
No, that's funny, but no, I did not. Not that I was, you know.
I do think what's a little rough, and yes, I'm sorry, I'm consumed with this story, is they have all these pictures out there of them two with her husband at the time, Andrew Hsu from Melrose Place, and they're all buddy-buddy hugging, and that one gives you a little, that's a little
Let me tell you this. I mean, in many ways, you sort of see that story, and you're like, man, am I happy I'm not famous? The Daily Mail, they literally sent somebody to, like, follow them into the woods, right, into their...
Which is amazing, because who would have thought all these people would care about Amy Robach and TJ Holmes? Like, I didn't even know... I've heard of her. I never heard of him before. I've never watched the show. I don't know what.
Yeah, I think again, it's. I think the me and you probably have no. I shouldn't say no. We probably do not have a good sense of just how the people who are into morning television, how into the people on morning television they are. You know what I mean? Like, they are so into.
Which is all the more reason to leave them on, because you would have gotten more ratings if they were on.
I know. They're into the lives of those anchors, I think, because the people on those shows bring their lives into the show, right?
Right.
Isn't that part of sort of like if you're a morning show person, isn't part of like they make the morning show like your family, and then they bring in their own family so that you feel like that you're –
Yeah, I don't know.
Part of it. Yeah, I mean, you are not wrong in the sense that, like, this is, we're not dealing with, like, Katie Couric level fame here, right?
Right.
But yet, the, well, I mean, listen, the
Post. There's no Matt Lauer locking the door situation.
Yeah, the Post is going to roll with this, but I am kind of surprised that just, like, I mean, it's one of the biggest web stories going on now. Like, if you Google those two names, you'd see a million pieces on. So,
yeah, and my thing throughout the week has just been like, I can't believe Like, what would the Post do if there were, if these, the people involved in the story were bigger names that America cared about? Like, it's amazing. Like,
I mean, I mean, it sucks to say, but like, you do know this, like the reality of like good looking people having affairs or having sex.
Oh, sure.
We'll always sell. Yeah. We'll always sell papers. Or
what
or,
is your,
or,
give
or
me, what is your morning sports media consumption? Like, do you watch or listen to anything in the morning? What's the Richard Deitch? Like, for, I know for me, I listen to Howard Monday through Wednesday. I listen to Boomer and Geo on WFAN Thursdays and Fridays, a little bit of, then I mix in Good Morning Football, but they replay that at 10 so I can watch it at 7 or 10. Like, those are my three things in the morning. What is the Richard Deitch morning?
Yeah,
sports
so
media
for me,
consumption?
It's a bit of a, it's a different mix, obviously, just giving
you have kids too, so you might have to throw in a little Nickelodeon.
More honestly, the mornings for us, it's the NCAA tournament. You're just trying to survive in advance, to be very honest. Mine is a combination of, I want to get updated on what happened in Toronto sports, just given because I live here. So I listen to the local stations here. My old colleague, Bob McCowan, does a podcast. And so I'll listen to his podcast quickly in the morning. But then also, Jimmy, because as both of us are, I'm a huge fan, as you know, of wrestling podcasts. So I might listen to one of Conrad Thompson's podcasts. I might listen to Cornette. So it's like kind of a mix. My morning is a mix. We're done with the kids, I'll take a walk or a jog or something like that. So that's when I'm trying to do podcasts or catch up in the morning. I usually do not. I mean, hopefully, you know, The Athletic's not going to fire me for saying this. I'm not really catching up on American sports until like early afternoon, later in the day. Like, that's usually when I'll figure out, like,
how
all
long
right,
does it take you to catch up on the Raptors?
Depends.
Oh, you do the hockey too, I guess.
Yeah, the Maple Leafs. Yeah. I mean, I want to maintain, like, it, as long as I'm living up here, like a pretty good knowledge of the local sports teams. But this is where Twitter, you know,
so
even in the Musk hellscape world, is good, because like literally you just go on your feed, you'll find out like arson, like you, how quickly could you have found out about Arson Judge? Like literally 2 minutes after Heyman posted it, right? So you're not going to miss anything.
Right. Well, I was going to say, you're there consuming Toronto sports and wrestling podcasts. Shout out Conrad Thompson, Something to Wrestle With.
Yeah.
And then what about aren't you supposed to be following sports media?
Yeah, of course, Jimmy. There's enough time in the day to do it all. You know, I mean, it's not like I'm reading Sports Business Journal. I'm seeing what
shout out John Oran.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, John Oran, by the way, there's a guy. Like, who I had on my podcast a million times, like back in the day. Now he's blown up as a massive podcast figure. I feel like he's forgotten about me, forgotten about the little people on his way to to stardom.
He comes on my podcast regularly, so I don't. Well, I think that's
sport. He loves sports. Oran has always loved Sports Illustrated. He's like, he's an old school guy, and that name means something to him, which I respect. But no, I mean, Jimmy, honestly, you read Sports Business Journal is phenomenal. Like, if there was one, if you ask me. Of all the publications that I either subscribe to or have, like, as long as I'm working, as long as I'm still writing about sports media, what's the most invaluable one? It's that one. Like, that would be the one I would be the hardest to give up. So once you read that and sort of just play around on the web a little bit, I feel like you're pretty updated on what's happening. Also, you know, I'm talking to people, you know, I regularly talk to people within the industry on a daily basis. So I, you know, you feel connected. Also, like, lastly, like, it's not like we're writing about nuclear fission here.
Right.
Like, you know, you can catch up.
Right. Well, that's the other thing about, like, the Heyman thing. There is a part of me that was like, okay, like, this really is not that important in the grand scheme of the world.
No. But I mean, there was an election in Georgia the other day. I mean, Arson Judge is funny, but it doesn't mean it has no impact in the larger scale of life.
Right. But that's why I do think your reputation, how you treat people, what people like, that's what ends 100%. Up coming into play. I bet you must have been one of the thousands of people just drooling and fawning over the Andrew Luck story this week on ESPN.
Well, I have not even read it.
What?
Yeah, I know Wickersham wrote it. I'll eventually get to it, but
that's like your wheelhouse, Seth Wickersham, Andrew Luck, long feature. That's like a Richard Deitch special. What's going on with you?
I'll eventually read it, but it's, you know, you got to prioritize.
This is shocking.
Andrew Luck's an interesting figure, but there's a lot more athletes I find far more interesting. Also, Jimmy, I mean, again, I think this says something about me, is I find myself more interested in things far away from sports and sports media. This to me feels like, that's why I think I'm closer to the end than the beginning. I'm not going to have to have.
I can't have you on.
I'm not
going to
be Mushnick. I'm not going that deep into the. And I you will not see me writing sports media at his age. There's no chance. Zero.
That's going to be the clip I pull from this.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, it'll be far before it.
What's going on? You seem defeated.
No, I'm not defeated. I just like I think you know. I'm closer to the end of this chapter for me professionally than the beginning. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying I'm walking away from The Athletic or anything like that. I'm just saying, like, you know, I have other interests and there's probably a couple of things I would like to do before I wrap this all up. And I do think that, and I saw this in Sports Illustrated too, I think there's a shelf life on writing about a certain topic that everybody hits. And I'm closer to that end than the beginning. By a lot.
Well, then it's good you have a podcast because then you have to write.
Yeah. I mean, if both of us enjoy the podcast, even though it's a lot of work, if I can make that a full-time job where I would pay my bills, I would do it in a second. That's both of us. Unfortunately, what we talk about is niche. So even if you can make a little bit of money, can't really, I shouldn't say, I don't know what Brian Curtis makes on the podcast. I should be sort of, you know.
Yeah. Let's not talk about people's salaries. I'm not.
Brian's paid to be, not just do the podcast, he has other responsibilities, the Ringer. What I'm saying is, I don't know if what we do, you could ever get to the download numbers where it could become a legit, you know, six-figure job on an annual basis. I think you would, not to get so deep in the woods on podcasting, but, you know, I think you would need close to 100,000 downloads, maybe a little less per episode. And I don't know if there's enough people combined who would, even if all of us didn't do it, if let's just say there was one, I don't know if a one singular sports media podcast would get 100,000 listeners every episode. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but that's my take.
Yeah, I think you worry way too much. I don't think about it in those terms. Like,
well, you should. I know you don't want to go into this, but like you should be getting money from Sports Illustrated on any kind of revenue you bring in for this podcast. You know how I feel about that.
Well, I'm sure for this episode, revenue is very high.
Yeah. And if there's one thing I wish I had done when I started this one was if I understood the economics of it better, I would have tried, like Peter King, tip my hat to him, tried to create one of these deals where you got money for the podcast in addition to your salary as an employee. He was the only one of us, I believe, back in the day who was able to pull that off because, of course, he was Peter King. Anyway, I know you don't want to go down this road.
Yeah.
Although I think the listeners would find it fascinating, but go ahead.
I don't think they care. They want to hear us opine on sports media. I want to hear, what do you make, if you want to talk about podcasts, what do you make of the trend of all of these podcasts now hosted by current athletes who are in season? And a lot of them are good.
I think it's smart. I mean, I got it to my hat to Colin Cowherd on his volume. Getting Draymond Green was a massive coup. I mean, that's a guy who...
Is he still doing that podcast? I haven't seen anything about it.
Maybe if he hasn't, then I apologize.
I don't know. He might be. I'm just saying.
I know he was usually doing the volume. I don't listen to it on any kind of weekly basis, but like I thought that was a really good hire because obviously he's a pretty controversial figure. I think Jimmy athletes have sort of understood now that they don't need the middlewoman, right? They can go straight to distribute their content and what they're doing. And I think you will only see more people doing this. Am I correct that the Kelce brothers like now have a podcast? And isn't that like a top 10 podcast already?
I would say it's like top two.
Okay, so there you go.
Perfect and it's example. Phenomenal. I have not heard it.
It's good.
It's very good.
Okay, so there you go.
Because Jason Kelce is really, really funny.
Right.
And what I find interesting about it is, and, you know, I shouldn't admit this because it makes me look stupid and sort of like, you know, I almost sort of stereotype the athletes in that I'm always surprised when I see the work they're putting in and the things they're covering and the topics.
Don't stereotype. That's bad on your part.
No, I know. I agree. But like, because there were times in the beginning when I watched it, I'd be like, I can't believe like the work and the knowledge and the, like, they're doing a really great job of with the topics. And if you're a current athlete, you don't need to be doing that. Like, you got way bigger fish to fry. So I give them a lot of credit. You know, JJ Redick, not a current player, but
a really
when
good
you
example.
See what he's doing with the podcast, it's tremendous.
It's not even just a podcast. Now, these guys have media companies. You know, I just saw today, as we're taping this, Sue Bird and Megan Rapinoe announced their podcast company. So when you have status, access, standing, money. Like, you could create one of these production companies, and who knows the value of it? Peyton and Eli Manning, that Omaha Productions is worth multiple millions now, right? Like, one day, if they decide to sell that, that's going to be a $100 million company they're going to sell. And so, you know, I know Reddick, I wish I remembered it, but Reddick and Tommy Alter have a production. Is it called The Old Man? Whatever the
Old Man and the Three.
Whatever it is, it's not just a podcast. Like, it's a production company. Yeah. It's a media company.
Yeah.
And so you're seeing, to me, you're seeing a lot of these athletes now forming this. I think this is just the beginning. Do I think that means like the media will be shut out? No. I think as long as like the leagues continue to credential people, you'll still get access. But like, there's a lot of power. If you like, you know, take athlete X, like, I'll just use a football player, okay? Do you know how incredible it would be if you had like Patrick Mahomes literally after the Chiefs game, like just go into a podcast studio and do like a 15-minute podcast? It'd be like one of the number one podcasts in the country.
Well, you have that now in a lot of ways. Like, Josh Allen appears on Kyle Brandt's show. Kyle Brandt, like, has a show.
Immediately after the game?
No, he does it on Tuesdays with Kyle. Okay. So he's on Kyle. It's called Kyle Brandt's Basement. So Josh Allen appears there.
That's a great get. Love Josh Allen.
There's a Burrow. I think Joe Burrow does a weekly spot.
But we've seen that before. I'm talking about the athlete himself or herself, literally right after the game and after whatever commitments they have, like right doing an episode. Like, that real time kind of take me in would be massively successful. Isn't that Draymond did in the playoffs?
Tom Brady tweeted the video of him saying, "Let's fucking go," like 5 seconds after the game ended on Monday night.
Brady is incredibly conscientious about his social media.
But he's not doing it. He has a company doing it.
I know, but you agree that he is incredibly conscientious about his social media and how he looks.
I think the company hired is tremendous. That's what I think.
I think he does a little bit of it. I know it's not your show. I mean, I know it's not my show, but let me ask you this.
Sure.
You had to guess today, December 7th, 2022.
Yep.
You think Brady eventually makes the Fox booth?
I do. And I'm glad you brought that up, because for some reason, I mean, you're helping me do a little publicity for this pod, because Joe Buck came on here 3 weeks ago and said there are Fox people who have told him they don't know if Brady will ever do a game for them. And that ended up getting picked up everywhere. And I didn't it didn't really faze me. I thought throughout the NFL season, 100%, he was going to retire after this year because he looked miserable.
Yeah, obviously,
he was going
through
the personal stuff. And then we'll go to the Fox booth next year. I guess he'll probably play next year based on what
he's going to play next year, too. I agree.
I think he's going to go into the booth when he retires, whether it's next year, the year after, year after, simply for one reason. Well, 375 million reasons. He's like, you have to be insane to walk away from that money.
I know, although that's...
And as, you know, I told,
that's a 10-year commitment to get the whole deal. It's 37, well, whatever, this, for one, right?
I've said this on the pod. It may have been last week with Tirico. Maybe it was a joke. Tom Brady seems like a guy who's a football lifer. He wants to be involved in the game.
I agree with that.
I don't see him retiring and walking away and going fishing. And
but I do not see. Here's what I would bet on. I agree with you. I think he will eventually get to the booth at Fox. I would bet humongous amounts of money he will not do 10 years at Fox.
That's fair.
Inconceivable.
I agree with that.
Now, what happens if let's just sort of scenario it out a little bit. What happens if Brady decides to retire two years from now? Okay, so he plays another 2 years and then retires. Greg Olsen and Burkhardt have become the number one team for 3 years. Do you make Brady the third person on that booth, or do you literally just kick Olsen to the number two team after being a number one analyst for 3 years? Like, that's interesting.
If Darryl Johnston's your number two guy, then yes, you kick Olsen to the number two team. I mean, that's an easy call.
But you know what I'm saying, though? Like, what happens if Olsen establishes himself as like somebody who's like a number one?
No disrespect to Greg Olsen. This has nothing to do with Greg Olsen. If you have the greatest quarterback of all time who wants to be your number one analyst, then the greatest quarterback of all time is going to be your number one analyst. It's that simple.
He may be
terrible. He may fizzle out for a year. Then they bring Olsen back.
Yep.
But Fox is not – I mean,
That decision is way above Fox Sports too, right? That's a Lachlan Murdoch. So it's going to happen. I agree with you on that.
Listen, Tom could also say, like, listen, let me do it with – a three-man booth with Olsen in there, so it's not as much of me. You know, that could happen. I could see that happening. But
I think that'd be smart on Brady's part, because that's how you can sort of lean into the lean into the assignment.
You're right, but I despise three person booth.
Yeah, I think Brady loves football. I have no doubt about that. By the way, I don't know if you know. I know I have a lot of people like who write to The Athletic. He's like, Brady's going to be horrible. I'm like, I don't know how Brady's going to be. Maybe he'd be good. Maybe he won't be. You don't know.
Right.
It just seems hard. It seems hard for me to believe. Okay, 49-year-old Tom Brady. Okay, Week 8, Jacksonville Jets. It just doesn't seem like that's what he wants to do with his time in 2029.
He's going to be doing the best game every week. So your scenario there is a little misguided. Okay. And I think, why not? Like, right. He has the whole week to do what he wants on
Friday.
You don't
think he wants to be in football ownership or have a massive production company and be like Peyton?
I think he'd do both.
Maybe. Do you still watch the Manning cast?
I do not. I haven't watched the Manning cast for more than maybe 5 or 10 minutes the whole season. And I do. Now, see, the Manning cast to me is interesting in terms of, you know, there's all this talk about, will Brady go to Fox? Will Brady ever go to Fox? Will Brady ever call a game? I wonder if the Manning cast is going, was it 3 or 5 years, their deal?
Good question. What it pays.
Because if it's five,
I think it's I'll keep talking. I'll try to find that.
If it's five, I don't know if that's going to keep, I mean, it does what it does. It's a nice play for ESPN. It gets some good publicity, good social media stuff. But I do feel like, I don't know, in 4 years from now, I don't know if Peyton and Eli, that's what they're going to want to be doing.
I think the Manning cast itself is agreed upon through 2023. And then maybe that Omaha deal goes beyond that. Here's what I would say. Like, I have watched the Manning cast, and I actually think it's a better production this year than last year. Like, I think the both Eli, certainly Eli has found himself. He sort of has a perfect presence on that show. I think Peyton's much more comfortable as the person who brings you in and out, you know, the traditional host role. Guest booking is what it is. You may like someone, you may not like someone. But interesting enough, Jimmy, the viewership is down, which is something I expected. And I think for these alternative broadcasts, like once that first year kind of like, you know, sizzle and sexiness is gone, it's just, I think it's hard to like make that thing, like as like the Manning cast is a fun watch, but it's no longer like revolutionary special.
I agree.
We've seen it 15 times now, right?
I think it comes down to this. Like, do you want to watch a traditional broadcast or do you want to hear two people talking about a game? And I think a big factor in all this is the game. I think when there's a good game, a big game, you want the traditional broadcast. When there isn't, then yeah, I want to hear these two fun, funny guys speak. I do think the guest thing for me is almost, you know, it's not like I'm purposely going out of my way not to watch it. It's just like, oh, it's 8 o'clock. I put on ESPN and I never think to go to it because I'm just, yeah.
But
you know,
you're like
90%
of the audience. Like all the viewers just look at it. By the way, I should correct myself. It's 2024 that Manning cast goes through. But look at the viewership numbers, right? Even for this past week, the latest one we had, it was a bit of a dog viewership. So like Monday Night Football drew like whatever it was, 10.5 million viewers, roughly like that. And Manning cast drew like 1.1. So literally, that's 90-10. So like you're like 90% of the audience. You're always going to watch the main broadcast.
I think a lot of the novelty of the Manning cast is worn off. And I do think I just know on a Monday, I'll scroll through Twitter, for example, and I see, oh, Bill Burr is going to be on. And I said to myself, I would want to watch. So then you wait on Twitter to someone say, oh, Bill Burr's on the Manning cast, and you put it on. But like this week, I see, you know, Dana White's on. I'm like, well, you couldn't pay me to put that on. So I do think the guest has some impact on
right. It was Robin Roberts, Dana White, and somebody else.
Randy Moss.
Yeah, like Randy Moss isn't going to get me to watch that. I don't know if Dana White. Well, Robin Roberts could be interesting. She's never been on before, I think. But yeah, like I'm with you on that. Like if.
Well, the thing is,
somebody who suggested this. I don't remember who it was. It might have been Austin Karp on my podcast. I think something interesting would be like, I think he mentioned this. If Odell Beckham came on to announce where he was going to sign, like right. I thought that would be kind of an interesting idea. Or you go dangerous. What about Dave Chappelle on there?
Yeah, I don't know if ESPN wants that headache, but sure.
No, I don't think Disney would do it. But I'm just saying, like, that could be interesting guest booking. But you're right. Like, it's. I think guest booking's tough after a certain point. Like there's how many people are really like destination guests?
There's not many.
Yeah.
I think the best thing for them to do is current players. From what I remember last year, it was the current players, whether it was Russell Wilson, whether it was Brady, Rodgers.
Josh Allen may have done it. Yeah, I agree with you.
Who got a lot of attention.
Yep. Because they may say something and that's newsworthy because they're playing. I agree. 100%.
Right. What else did I want to get into with you? What do you make of the... So, like, here we are. We're almost wrapped up with the NFL regular season. There was all this anarchy in the offseason with everyone switching Joe and Troy to ESPN and Burkhardt elevated. What, like, all these months later, you think, oh, boy, that was a whole lot of hullabaloo for, like, nothing because there's not... I mean, I think the biggest thing that's come out of this is Al on Thursday nights and Thursday nights being a little bit rough with the schedule. But the other stuff, I think, was, you know... It all played out fine, and it's not been like a big shocking change in anyone's
first and
world.
Foremost, it made a lot of people rich. And so, yes. You know, that's really, to me, the takeaway. I mean, then Buck and Aikman, Brady's salary eventually. So that's sort of, you know, the money.
Alan Kirk got paid.
Yeah. The money that sort of was handed over, I think, for people was very eye opening. Obviously, the big story is just, is viewer habit and like the shifts. Like, you don't hear Buck and Aikman anymore on Fox. You hear them on Monday Night Football. And what does that mean? Well, I think any of us who covered this, like, I feel like we had it right. It didn't mean any more viewers or any less viewers. It just, like, it's that subjective Monday Night Football feels bigger. Do you agree? It feels more like an event because of those two guys.
Yes, I did in the beginning.
But you're never going to think like week 13 feels big unless it's a big game. Like, right. That's just the season.
They're
right?
At the mercy of the schedule. Now, next year, when Monday night gets flexed, I think that's good. And I 100%. I really need to find out how that's going to work because a lot of people want to know about it.
Yeah.
That's going to be enormous.
I agree. That's going to make some of those late season games feel big. You know, I think Alice had a really good year. I will say, Austin Karp, and I think Chad Finn brought this up on my podcast as well. And then I started paying a little more attention to it. They were pretty down on Herb Street as an NFL analyst. Not saying he's like terrible, but just that not he's a difference maker and not necessarily you're learning so much. And the more I watch, I kind of tend to agree with them. I think Kirk is a good NFL analyst, but by no means revolutionary or transcendent. But Al feels like even if he occasionally makes a mistake, he still that game still feels big because Al's on it, even if the game itself has like, you know, it's a dog game.
See, it's interesting what you say about Kirk. That's real because,
and it's different in college football, by the way, where I always feel like he does feel big in college football.
Well, that's what I was going to say is if you listen to Kirk do Thursday and then you listen to him do Saturday, I mean, there's just a huge difference.
Agreed.
I think
I agree with you.
And I don't know if it's because it's tough to do the two different sports, the scheduling, and he's working with Al. He's got a, I don't want to say, what's the word when you
style
are like
gravitas.
Al's the number one guy there.
Yeah.
Whereas he's the number one guy when he's with Fowler.
Yeah. Like, don't you think some of it, do you think some of it is the fact that when you watch him on Saturday, like that college game feels big. Like, you know, it's like it's a game that has meaning for that sport every week where, no offense, like, you know, Texans versus like Jets on Thursday night may not have meaning.
You want to hear the truth? If I'm giving you that, if I'm being 100% honest,
yeah.
The only time I feel that on Saturdays is CBS at 3:30 with Nestle and Danielson. And not necessarily because of them. They're a factor in it. But like that SEC game is usually the best game of the day.
Oh, Fox's early window though has had some big games. Even Ohio State, Michigan's the most watched game of the year. That's a Fox early window.
Right, and they've also showed Iowa and Indiana a few times.
Right, right. Well, also you're a gambler though, so Thursday should matter to you for that, right?
I'm gonna watch Thursday. Listen, I think there was one Thursday where at halftime I started watching something else and I never went back to the game because it's a pain in the ass with the streaming, but. If there's an NFL game on, chances are I'm going to watch it. Like, even if it's bad teams.
Yeah. Well, but again, if you have an interest in that, a betting interest in that, the game is interesting, even 100%. If teams are bad, right? 100%. So like that's sort of the. No, I don't want to call it a genius, but that's the hook on gambling. Is that every single game in many ways matters, even if the game itself is terrible.
And in a sick, warped way, like. I'll watch the Bay game on Thursday night to hear what Al's going to do. I mean, like, this Thursday is an awful, unwatchable game, right? Isn't it?
Who do
like,
they have?
I got to check. I think it's like Rams.
Hey, the Rams have just been
Rams and another shitty team.
They had their best game left is, I think it's their last one. They have Cowboys-Titans at the end, and that's I don't know how many other good games.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you get the Cowboys, you're in good shape.
Yep.
The Cowboys with the ratings is just, it's just,
well, they're good, right? And that has value. And when the, you know, for that Thanksgiving day, because the Giants were good at that time, that's where you, that's when you put up a $40 million viewership mark.
So this week, Al has the 5-7 Raiders against the 3-9 Rams. I mean, it's an awful.
It is. Although, you know what? At the beginning of the year, you would have said that's a really good game because you would have thought both those teams might have been good. So that's just bad luck for Amazon.
Next week, they have Niners Seahawks, which is good.
Yeah.
Even without Garoppolo, it's still good. Then they have
Niners are interesting.
Then they have Jaguars, Jets.
The Jets should still have a playoff potential there.
And then after that, they've got Cowboys, Titans, which you mentioned.
Yeah. So the final game. Their final game may end up being their best game of the year. I know they had Chiefs Chargers at the beginning, but that Cowboys Titans game could have significance for both teams, and you have the Cowboys.
Yeah, Raiders Rams. I'm going to watch to hear what Al does.
So let me ask you this,
and I'll bet
And let's not, you know, I'm asking everybody at Amazon, the Tim Buckmans and Alana Russos of the world. Don't be emailing Trina to annoy him on this, but. Do you feel like Amazon has been successful this year? The viewership numbers are going to be under what the ad promise was, but everybody's numbers are usually under what the ad promise is. I think they're successful just because the production has looked really good. They've gotten awareness of the product. And to me, that's in itself a success. Is it like, you know, 25 million people watching it? No, of course not, but it's year one. So I would say they're more success. Let's put it this way. They're more – if it was like a political race, I would say lean success, closer to toss up. I wouldn't say likely.
I think you're not going to like this answer, but I think it depends on what you consider successful. I would lean no for this reason.
Okay.
You have the hottest product, the only product that generates massive ratings in television. Like network television is dead. Nothing gets anything close to what the NFL gets.
Right.
Okay. 40 million people watching on Thanksgiving. When you have games getting 8-9 million viewers for the NFL, even if you're just a streaming service in year one, NFL Network on Sunday at 9 o'clock in the morning gets like 5 million for those games.
Yeah. For the
9 o'clock in the morning on a, you know.
But Jimmy, you're not, the Amazon games are not so far away from the early window of a okay game on CBS or Fox, right?
That's not true.
I'm not talking about a good game. Those games could do 13, 14, 15 million, and Amazon is doing 10, 11 million.
Right. I think what has hurt Amazon is the schedule.
Yeah, you can't control that. I mean, you know, you get what you get. To me, failure would have been people watch that and you're like, this is not an NFL broadcast. This is a joke. I'm not watching. The streaming's not working. Yeah. Latency's not working.
That's a terrible take by you because the NFL wouldn't have allowed that. The NFL is not going to allow them to put on a subpar.
The NFL is not the one in the production truck making sure this happens. Those are
the
real
NFL
people.
Wouldn't let NBC use the NFL wouldn't let Tirico use NBC on Sunday nights to fill in for Al when they wanted to do that because they want like
I'm just saying
the,
that
the NFL
I
is involved.
Amazon,
you're foolish if you
ultimately you got to put an NFL quality product on and Amazon has done that.
I think the schedule is the biggest factor, and that's not Amazon's fault. That's why I don't even I lean unsuccessful, but it's not even their fault. What are they supposed to do this Thursday when it's the Raiders against the Rams? Nobody in this country cares about the Rams. Like they won a Super Bowl last year. It was the most unfun,
It's a weird even LA is just a weird NFL market.
And then they show those games in LA and the crowd's rooting for the road team in every game.
I don't know what you do. You try to hype it.
There is something to like you put on a game and it's Lambeau Field or it's Orchard Park. Yeah. Or you get, you know, the Bears even are terrible.
It doesn't feel
the Rams
like
are a nothing.
What is your thought on Amazon's pregame postgame group? Like, dislike, neutral?
I would like to see a pregame show where there's like two people, maybe three times. When I see the panel and it's 87 people, I'm like, what are we doing? And I thought this is what I mean about the NFL being involved. I thought with Amazon streaming new company that leans all towards young people, I thought we'd see a different pregame show that pregame show is the same one that's on CBS and Fox and NBC. It's the same exact thing.
Well, they would say
panel of 50 people doing the same topics.
Yeah, Sherman and Fitzpatrick are different, but they're really not. If you think about it, they're just foreign players, right? Who sort of are sort of doing the same stuff. Well, I guess Amazon's point. I haven't watched much of it. Where they would be like, "Well, Dude Perfect is different. Like these alternative things that we're doing are different." But I haven't
Give
watched
me a break,
much of it.
Please.
So, yeah, I can't tell you about it.
Listen, the NFL, I don't know if it's the NFL, if it's the networks, but their whole thing is ex-players, ex-players, ex-players. I'd rather see someone who's not an ex-player. Like
I agree. It's this, unless, you know, there are some ex-players who are really, really great analysts, but we always get the same archetype, and it would be great to sort of have a different voice, a new voice, a woman, someone like you said, who just, like, maybe is from another field, who just happens to be an interesting NFL voice. I'm with you, but you know this from writing about this stuff too. So much of sports television, Jimmy's copycat, right? They just,
of course,
people are afraid to challenge conventional wisdom or conventionality because they think that's the way to keep their jobs. And so
I also don't think, I don't think the NFL and the networks, I don't think they want to go outside the box too much.
Well, when it comes to game broadcast, the NFL almost has to de facto sign off. In theory, the ESPNs, the Foxes, the NFL networks, not NFL networks, Amazon should have more say over who they hire for their pregame. But I have no doubt that this is not going to happen. But if Amazon said, hey, we want to put OJ on our panel, I am sure the NFL would be like, that's not going to happen, guys.
What an example, Richard. We can't end the podcast on that horrific note. That's just, I do think the NFL would nix OJ. Call me shocked. And that's just a bad example.
OJ, by the way, should be, in my opinion, should be off the Bills Wall of Fame and should be out of the Hall of Fame. Stupid Hall of Fame is made up by human beings.
Another terrible take.
Yeah. I don't care what he did during his playing career.
Why do you
kill two people? Put him out, kill him, take him out of the Hall of Fame.
Why do you care about trophies and museums? They're meaningless.
Right. That's my point. They're meaningless. So take it out. Although say I was very happy. I know it's a different topic. I like seeing Fred McGriff get in there. I thought that was cool. I like
me
Fred
too. Let me ask you something. If you take OJ out of the Hall of Fame, what does that do exactly? What does that accomplish?
It just makes me happy for 5 minutes.
Okay. Well, that is a good answer, at least.
Yeah. It doesn't accomplish anything else.
How can you take any Hall? How do you take these Hall of Fame seriously? You shouldn't think one second about it.
Museums are made by human beings. They're not some like
human beings are awful.
That's like magical and mystical. Like, they're rules. People make rules up all the time.
Listen,
the Hall of Fame committees change. Also, you know, when I think about the NFL, that their vote should be public. Let us know who you voted for, NFL writers. Make that transparent.
Don't get worked up about the Hall of Fame. It's not worth it.
Just, I'm doing shtick here. I don't care about it.
Is there any sports media person you'd like to shout out before we say goodbye? Is there anyone who has impressed you this year? College football, NFL. Anyway, you say, you know what? That person doesn't get enough credit. They, you know, maybe an Andrew Catalan. Maybe a...
I think McAfee's had an incredible career, but he gets enough credit.
Oh, yeah, he gets no credit at all, Richard. Yeah. Way to play the game.
No, let me think about this.
Someone no one ever talks about Pat McAfee. Under the radar.
I know, I get it. You're trying to go sort of for someone who's sort of a little under the radar, who's done great work.
RG3 on college football, a lot of people
been
like
good,
him.
But I feel like he's gotten a lot of credit, too. You know, he's had a really good year, like sort of a...
That's
maybe
what I'm asking you.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you somebody. Pretty much every piece that she's been a part of has been pretty strong. Jen Latta of ESPN has done really good work, some high profile assignments, and you know, for College Game Day and other places, and probably, you know, should get more of a shout out. But there's, you know, you're putting me on the spot. If I sort of have to really think about it, it's good to, you know, it's, what was I going to say? You know, kudos for me and you are great. What I always hope for all these people is just that they're fairly compensated. That's honestly what matters at the end of the day.
Forget that. Let's end with this. Where do you stand with Skip Bayless these days?
I really don't think much about him, honestly. I'm being very, very honest. You know, I stopped the Twitter shtick. It's now 4 years ago I stopped it, right?
Will you ever tweet out his ratings ever again?
No, I might. Maybe one day. I don't know if I'm bored. Okay. But I think someone like you and I think many, many others understood that when I tweeted that, I of course understood that television, cartoons and kid television shows will always beat any kind of sports debate show in the afternoon. Like, that was never the point. The point was to sort of embarrass Fox executives who put this knucklehead on the air by sort of pointing out that this is all nonsense and all irrelevant because Paw Patrol can kick the shit out of your Bayless thing. I will say this. I'll be very, very transparent and honest here. Undisputed ended up getting more viewers than I thought they would. That show has been successful for Fox within that universe. I would never doubt that. And that does tell you that there is an audience for what Bayless does. Now, in the football season, it will always do better. You know, whatever it is, 250,000 viewers. In the off season, it'll crunch down to 100,000. These are very small numbers, Jimmy, as both you and I know. But within that universe, you know, that's considered successful if you can get to a 250,000 viewers for a morning show. It turns out, here's my last point on this. Obviously, I haven't talked about this in a long, long time. I think what's still, I guess, kind of interesting, Jimmy, and I wonder how you feel about this, is that you would think that the kind of hack, like over the top, contrarian heel character bullshit would have been played out, but it still hasn't been played out, right? People still watch all this stuff.
I think it's stronger than ever.
Yeah. No, you're true. Exactly. Yeah. Why do you think that is? You think people just like debates?
People are dumb.
Okay.
People are dumb. Speaking of dumb people, you were off Twitter from, I believe, February of this year till September of this year.
You were probably following it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no. I was waiting. By the way, I remember working with you. You're like, you'll never quit.
I agree. So I was wrong. You
acknowledge now you're wrong, correct?
I was 100% wrong.
Thank you.
So you were off from February to September.
Yeah.
What is it like being back? What have you learned? What are we doing differently?
Being back on. No, in all, I'm being very transparent and candid with the audience. I'm only on to promote stuff. I'm only on to try to get more subscriptions and page views. It's just a promotional vehicle for me. Occasionally, I'll tweet out some stuff that's interesting. Yeah, I'm just being honest. Like, I have no... The affinity that I used to have for it is gone, which I think is really healthy. I think it used to be – would you call it an addiction? Yeah, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, but that at least is gone. I still find it to be an incredibly valuable service because all the writers and reporters I like come into my inbox. That's really, really great. And I have – you know, it's great to read great work from much smarter people than me.
The one thing
I've learned, Jimmy, but I think I learned this – maybe a little bit in the post-Rovell universe is that I can only speak for me. Even when I would get into nonsense with people, I never felt good afterwards, even if people were saying, oh, you won that fight or, oh, you were totally right. And so the only way I feel like to – it's almost like that Matthew Broderick old movie War Games. Like, the only way to win is not to play. Like, you can never win in those situations. You're only just creating entertainment, right, and content for others.
Right.
So I hope that's – if I've learned anything, I hope it's to sort of not fall for the trap of engagement. But I'm sure I'll break that. I'm sure I'll make a – I'm sure I will do something stupid and hopefully it's not fireable. I do hope – I think Twitter will continue. I don't think it's going to fold under Musk or anything like that.
Oh, God.
I do hope, though, that there is an alternative to it. Do you think – that we should end it on that. Do you think there will – and I'm talking about sports here because that's me and you sort of, I think, care about that most. Can there be any kind of alternative to sports Twitter? Like, do you think that will – The problem is no one's going to develop
that. We're all in too deep.
Yeah, I agree.
The ship has sailed.
Yeah, I agree. Unfortunately, I agree. So even though I'd be willing to go to some other places, and maybe I will, I don't think sports Twitter can be duplicated anywhere else.
I will say that day on Twitter when people acted like it was going out of business was one of the most the cringe and the douche and the just, oh, my work will be here. And oh, if this is our last day together, like these people thought this, like they were going to hit the app button on their phone and it was going to be gone like the next day. It's just not how business works.
I think it's actually a smart idea to join some of these other services to see if they get big. But yes, I think the idea that
the performing was just—it's ridiculous. It was all performance.
The infrastructure of that company is so deep; it's inconceivable to think it would like blow up like in a couple months. Now, if you're asking me what it is in 2028, I don't know. I would guess Musk isn't going to own it 5 years from now. That's just a pure guess on my part. But I think
well,
the infrastructure is so great; it's not going to fold. I mean, doesn't like Does MySpace still exist? Like, does it literally exist or no?
I don't know, but here's what I think this conversation.
But you know my point, right?
It's
like
a stupid point. I'll tell you why.
Blockbuster didn't go out of business 20 years after people thought it was done.
Right, but here's my point about this. All right. Since the day Elon Musk took over Twitter, has anything on Twitter been even slightly different for you? No. Everyone goes on there.
Yes. I honestly do feel like I see more, at least in mentions and stuff, some really awful, shitty people.
Because they weren't there before he bought Twitter.
No, it seems like that's heightened, but no, correct. It's not new.
Like you post your stuff, you read who you follow, and
right.
that's
but,
it.
But Jimmy, like, you got to remember, like, what is it like for people who are like reporting on Musk, or what is it like for people who write about like Nazis and Nick Fuentes and stuff? That's where it'd be interesting to see like how horrible are those feeds. I don't think
but those feeds were horrible beforehand.
Me and you are not getting a reaction, Jimmy, if we're like, oh, Dak Prescott had a nice game here. Like no one's, you know, the dimensions are still going to be the same.
And the mentions were going to be the same for those people before Musk too.
I'm not sure about that. I think those people are getting it worse personally.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so.
It's a good, you know, it's a larger topic. By the way, is Sal Licata going to be part of this podcast or just me?
Absolutely, every week.
Yeah, he's very popular for you. I read the feedback that you get on like iTunes and stuff when people rate and review.
You're still stalking me, even all these years later. After we've
not stalking you. I mean, that podcast has meaning to me. I was there long before you there, Junior.
At some point, you got to get over it.
No chance. I'll get over it. Give me the IP. I want my subscribers.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You have to get over it. It's been five years.
No, let me get back to Sal though. The a lot of the comments on that are about Sal. They really like him. I would say he's 50% of the comments that you get. It's like, Jimmy, great job on the podcast. Like your take on X. Love Sal and the conversations you have. It's a lot of that.
Yeah, that's why I wanted him to be part of the podcast. I actually know what I'm doing.
It seems like he has a big following. It makes me think I should have like my own Sal and Kyle.
He's on TV and on WFAN. Like, I understand people, you know, radio's dead, blah, blah, blah. FAN is still a big yeah. deal in New York.
Exactly. That's it's still a giant. Well, there, you're smart on that. Who else are you going to get on? John Jastrzemski or somebody like that?
No.
All right.
Just Sal.
Okay. All right. Listen, I've enjoyed this. This wasn't, you know, this was, this seems like a pleasant conversation.
Give all your plugs. Tell everyone where they can find you. Do it properly.
No plugs. Whatever. Sports Media Podcast. If you're listening to Jimmy, I feel like this would be a companion for you in the same way that if you listen to me, I feel like Trainer's Podcast would be a companion to that.
That was good. After you said you weren't going to plug, that was good.
Oh, that's it.
And no. You don't want to mention The Athletic? Okay. Let's pull that clip.
I mean, listen, love the people I work with, incredibly talented. I find that my stuff is incredibly mediocre right now, so I'm not sure I'd recommend it.
Fair enough. We'll end it on that. Richard, appreciate you coming on. Be well.
Thank you, Jimmy.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Happy holidays to you, yours, and your listeners.
Same to you. Thank you. All right. Take care.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
All right, joining me now for our weekly Train of Thoughts segment from WFAN Radio in New York, SNY TV. Sal Acata. Sal, how are you?
I'm okay. Busy week with the winter meetings, but okay.
As a diehard Mets fan, are you happy with Verlander over DeGrom? Or
I'm bothered by the way. Look, I know DeGrom didn't want to be here. I've known that for a long time, but it just the reality of it sucks when he's going to get. Well, today's Wednesday, right? He'll get introduced tomorrow for, as you know, we taped this on Wednesday. He'll get introduced tomorrow as a Ranger. It sucks. Yeah, I like Verlander's replacement. I think that's the best move they could have made, but it sucks losing DeGrom.
Yeah, you always want to keep the homegrown guys, I think. I mean, that's how I feel. So.
Like your Yankees with Aaron Judge.
Right, exactly.
Can you we talk about Don Heyman?
I did. I had Deitch on the pod this week, and we did a lot of John Heyman. I'm John Heyman'd out. I really, yeah. You know. I did see someone, whatever. Yeah, I don't want to even get into it.
Well, you know, he blocked me on Twitter a long time ago, right?
I wouldn't be surprised by that.
Yeah, I know him personally. He's got sensitive to something I said. Anyway, it's good to see him take one on the chin here. But anyway,
we got to do a one of these weeks. We got to do a list of who's blocked you on Twitter.
That's what we got. Has anybody blocked you? I definitely have a list.
I'm blocked by Chad Johnson and Tori Wilson.
What did you do to get blocked by Tori Wilson?
When she dated A-Rod, I think I said something derogatory.
Oh, yeah. I should have known that. Okay.
Those are the only two I know about.
That's not a bad episode, though.
But you're way more aggressive than me on Twitter, so you have a long list.
I guess. Yeah.
So we're taping this. It's almost 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. About 2 hours ago, sitting on my couch, doing nothing, waiting for this to come. And my phone rings. And I look, and the name on the phone is John Sterling.
Yes!
Calling to thank me for writing nice things about him throughout the year.
Wow! Merry Christmas!
I love the old school. Like, he picks up the phone, he calls... He had a line, you know, I don't even know if I should be saying this. It was probably a phone call, but he said something about thanking me. He goes, because, you know, the newspapers usually are not too kind to me. But I think it's really just, you know, Mushnick who rips him. But it was nice to hear from John. So,
you know, I've told you this story. I don't know if we shared it on the pod or not. But
yeah,
years ago, I texted him to try to get him on as a guest. I was doing this Yankee pregame show. He calls back right away and chastises, Sal, why would you text me? Just pick up the phone and call. And he goes on for 15 minutes chastising me about how I shouldn't text and call. And I was like, oh, my God, it's John Sterling. So
yeah. Why are you texting an 80-year-old?
You're
out of line for that.
This was 6 years ago. Because I feel awkward calling people cold like that. Who does that?
The generation above ours.
Yeah, I guess. Right.
Yeah. You know, you got to be, you know, with the technology. Did you by any chance read the Andrew Luck story that was on ESPN on Tuesday that everyone's going gaga over?
No, I just saw the headline.
Oh, all right. I read it. And like, there's a thing in there about how this is what stuck out of everything that was in there. What stuck with me is they said that Andrew Luck used to have this thing where he was, I guess, so crazy or whatever. He would order for people in restaurants. And like, there's a story in there where he took someone and he told the person like they're getting a margarita. Who would hang out with someone like that? Am I what?
Yeah, I wonder where he picked that up from. That's annoying.
It was bizarre, but like, I don't know. I want to talk about this with people, but everyone on Twitter read the article and no one I know read the article.
I could care less about Andrew Luck at this point, but it wasn't on dates. It was about like if you and I were to go out, you're ordering.
It might have been on dates too. But even so, I mean, I think it's worse to even do it on a date.
Right. Well, I mean, I agree with that, but at least like I've heard of that being done before. A guy is foolishly trying to be impressive, but he doesn't. But if I'm going out to dinner with a friend of mine, and he starts ordering for me. I'm like, hey, what the hell are you doing here? As should the date.
But he would order for like the entire table. They said like it was. Oh. It's bizarre. Yeah. So don't pull that with me. all right. There wasn't a ton going on this week, so I want to read some reviews that we've got. We got, I think, 4 or 5 here. And people always like to hear the reviews, so we'll go through these quickly and wrap it up. So this person only left 4 out of 5 stars. So here's the review. This is from I Am Maker. This is an excellent listen for anyone interested in media and sports. So how am I getting 4 stars out of this? Jimmy's takes on most things is spot on and funny. He gets good answers and great guests, all of which makes this a must listen. This would be a 5-star rating except for 2 things. There needs to be some more guests with the big names like Al Michaels, Joe Buck, and Jim Nance are great. While the big names like Al, Buck, and Nance are great, they've told the same stories and have similar thoughts on things. Hearing from other national people would help the pod. Also, Jimmy's take on refs being atrocious is atrocious. They get it right almost all the time, have an incredibly hard job, and just because you gamble mediocre games, including mediocre players, and a ref misses a call doesn't make them bad. A good new guess would be one of the referee analysts from the networks. All right, let me address. There's a lot.
Yeah, who's that from? Gene Steratore?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Let me explain. First of all, I think the rules officials, or whatever they're called on these broadcasts, are the most overrated thing in the history of sports broadcasting. They're completely not necessary. If you want to have one of them there to explain a rule that people may not know, that's fine. But most of the time, you know, there's a fumble and they bring the guy on to say whether the guy fumbled. I could see it with my own eyes. I don't need the ref. So you're barking up the wrong podcast if you want to hear Mike Pereira here. I'm not into the I don't understand. Like, to me, they are so not necessary to broadcast. The refs are atrocious. Even if I'm betting mediocre games at mediocre player, that's an accurate statement. But the refs still have to be good in those games.
Has anybody ever defended the refs before? I mean, that is crazy. Sometimes Mike Green, of course, but I mean, that is crazy.
I'm just nervous this guy's going to write again and not give me 3 stars. But and also, like, it's the NFL season, and we're coming to a head here. I booked a pod by myself. I get Nance, Buck, Burkhart, and Tirico on, and this guy's complaining. Really?
Well, have you ever, I mean, look, I get why you have those guys on. They're the biggest names. I mean, are you interested in getting on unknown names and giving them a platform? Is that something?
I don't mind mixing it up, but I'm still going to want the top people from every sport on. You know, Joe Davis was on during the baseball season. Right. You know, Van Gundy has been on, but, you know, like.
What about local guys? Like, we talked about that guy, Paul Allen, for the Vikings, who had that.
Yeah. Moment. I mean, yeah, that's, I think you got to strike that though, right at the right time. Like, he would have been good that week. For sure. Right. But you got to strike that at the right time. Yeah. All right. The card says Moops. Good Apple username. Says, yes, I made a podcast. It's squarely in my rotation of must-listen podcasts. Solid list of guests. And I love Jimmy's personality and him constantly complaining about streaming services. An opinion which I share. There's basically nothing wrong with this podcast, except I could use more of Sal complaining about his family. That stuff is gold, Jerry, gold. Separate but related comment. My only complaint is with train of thoughts, typos like Jim Nance, N-A-N-C-E, is a man of his word, are all too common. You need to fire your editor if you have one. You would think a professional website like SI.com would be better. Listen, I write that column so fast, I make a lot of typos, and it's not my editor's fault if they miss some every now and then. And I don't think that Nance thing is accurate. There's no way I spelled his name wrong. But let's get back to what really matters. Yeah, this guy would like to hear you complain more about your family on this podcast. I would prevent that because it's already gotten Sal in trouble in the past. But what do you think?
You're going to love this quick story. Friday night, I do my show. I'm done at 6:30. My wife, who desperately needs a night out, does her makeup, does her hair, meets me in the city for her. Well, I get my brother-in-law's wife's 40th birthday. My wife's brother's wife's 40th birthday. No issues. Takes the subway, takes the train in. Looks great. We go there, having the guac and chips before we get started. It's about 8:15. I get the text, DeGrom left for the Rangers.
Oh!
SNY, I reached out to the producers because I just left. I happened to be 2 subway stops away. I said, hey, do you need me to come back? They said, yes, get here as soon as you can. I said, honey, I have to go. DeGrom has left the Mets.
All right, but so just for people listening, I just wanted so as I always say at the top, Sal works for SNY TV in New York. SNY here in New York, for those around the country who don't know, is the Mets cable station. And yeah. Sal hosts a show every night at 6 p.m. on that station, Baseball Night in New York. So as the host of that show, Jacob DeGrom is leaving. You get the text because they're going to cut in live and you need to be on the air while you're at the dinner.
Well, I got the text of the news. Right. I knew I was nearby. I knew that I'd been working for weeks waiting for something to happen. As soon as I get off the air, basically on Friday night, it happens. I needed a piece of it. So I texted the producers saying, do you want me to come back? They said, yes, get over here. We did a breaking news
show. They would have texted
show.
You if you didn't text them, probably.
I don't know, but I will admit. And if you're listening to this and know my wife or her family, shut your mouth. I told my wife that they reached out to me. And then I'm sitting there on set at 9:30 at night, an hour and a half after I left the party. And she's texting me saying, tell those producers I am pissed off.
You were going to get in so much trouble. Yeah, I cannot believe you just told that story.
No, I did. But, I did go back to the party. All is well. All is good. I needed to be a part. It was a big deal, the breaking news.
Well, this is what I want. When you explain what was going on to your wife, did she grasp the enormity of the situation of Jacob deGrom leaving the Mets and why you would have to run back to the station?
As best she could. But ultimately, it was, I am here by myself. Where the hell are you? Because I was gone for 2 hours.
I will say this, and you know me, I would take the first chance to criticize or knock your situation or, you know, but I have to say, I give you credit. The fact that you would go back to the party with your wife and your in-laws and then enjoy the rest of the night, I give you credit for that. You could have easily worked your way out of that. We're doing a couple of live hits. I'm not going to be able to make it, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think I deserve credit twice. A, for wanting to go back to work. I mean, that was a Friday night. I'm done for the week. I got the two jobs. The overnights are killing me. I'm out. I could be going have drinks and whatever. I didn't do it. I wanted to be on the air for that.
Right.
And then, yes, you're right. I did go back and mingled, and we hung out for another couple hours. Ended up being a good night. But in that moment, I chose DeGrom and the breaking news over that family party.
I'm not surprised by that. Yeah, you want credit. You don't get credit. You wanted to be on the air, so you went on the air.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
All right. Two more of these. This one's very quick. Buckeye for Life. Very impressive interviews with great guests. Jimmy and Sal are hilarious with thoughtful discussions and banter. Very nice. All right. The last one here. So when I had Tirico on last week, we talked about the red zone and how much I dislike the red zone, and you don't like it either.
Right.
I don't think it was you. I don't think you and I had touched on it. I had talked about it with Tirico, and I will give credit. Someone who works for Red Zone left a review on the pod, gave 5 stars. So this is, and he said, Jimmy, sad to learn you don't like watching NFL red zone or late field goals in 3-possession games. FYI, there were no Panther field goal attempts against the Bengals in week 9. I'll get to that. I will, however, make sure not to sell any extra points to Scott Hansen in non-competitive games. If you abstain from all future wrestling conversation or any topic related to wrestling in any way, shape, or form, love the podcast and train of thoughts with Sal. So a couple of things. I had said in my diatribe against Red Zone that when the Bengals, remember a few weeks ago, the Bengals beat the Panthers like 78,000-12.
Right.
Late in the fourth quarter, Red Zone's cutting to a field goal in that game. I was wrong. I looked it up. With 1.5 minutes left and the score 42-14, they cut to a Panthers touchdown.
Oh, okay.
That don't need to see it. What I did get wrong is I think last week I had said in the crazy Jaguars comeback against the Ravens 2 weeks ago that they hadn't showed how the Jaguars made it late in the game to get that field goal. Apparently they did show that. So I think I got that part wrong. But it's very nice. He left five stars. He loves the pod. The red zone is not for everybody. We don't like it. People have to just understand.
Right. I think that's the point here. This is not about, at least from my perspective, you and I have talked about this for years, a very long time, off the air, off the pod, whatever. It's not about the red zone being a crappy product. It's not about them doing a bad job or what they cut to. It's that I want to be in control of what I'm watching. That's it. Right. End of story. This is not a knock on the red zone. It's if I could have every game at my disposal, why wouldn't I want that? In replace of somebody that's going to create a channel that can take me wherever they want to take me. No, I want to be in control. That's it. End of story. Not a knock on Hansen or the red zone. It's that I want the games that I want to watch and when I want to watch.
Right. The red zone motto is every score from every game. Well, I don't want to see every score from every game. Me. Now, I understand the fantasy people out there do, and I understand that that's the service you're providing. Your channel is not for me, and unfortunately, because of my situation where I don't have DirecTV and I don't have Sunday Ticket, I am forced every now and again to watch the red zone, and I don't enjoy it, and I'm allowed. Sorry. But listen, again, I would be an idiot if I said the red zone wasn't enormously popular and successful. It is. It's just not my bag.
Right, and we are clearly in the minority, and we're
clearly in the minority.
But yeah. I don't care. I prefer it that
way. All right, Sal, go go do your baseball duties. You're on call here, and we will. You have any plans with the wife this weekend?
Here's another quickie. This was supposed to be our weekend to decorate, get the tree, all this stuff. My good friend who listens to the pod, an avid listener of this pod, Wink in Milwaukee, Stephen Winkelmeyer. Who you've met plenty of times. His grandmother passed away. He's coming home from Milwaukee. Needs to stay with me Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
See, you ruined it because if the guy's grandmother passed away, I can't sit here and now make jokes about.
Well, three nights is a lot. And he even said, like, look, if I'm going to put you out, and I was like, no, it's all right. He's my friend. Like,
yeah, why can't you guys decorate the tree and decorate and do Christmas stuff even if your buddy's staying with you?
We will, but. I mean, you know, a Saturday night where it's supposed to be me and my wife, the baby to sleep, and we're watching a movie. He got my buddy Wink sitting there on the couch with us. And then Sunday's football, we turn that into a Sunday football day. You know how it goes.
Here's what you need to tell your wife. This is what you need to tell your wife. It's December 7th, December, January.
She's going to divorce me. I know
2 months. She's just got to make it 2 more months. That's it. And football will be over in 2 months.
Yeah.
Well, now, I mean, but I was going to say, you get Saturdays back, but you never really watch college. So, you know, the Saturdays you've like for me, I love that Saturdays now are free again because college football's over except for the bowl games.
Right.
But
right. You have a whole day now to yourself.
Right. Tell you what, 2 more months, football's over. So then, you know.
Hopefully. Right. I know. I got to do well at Christmas time. And her birthday is the 19th of December. Christmas obviously follows. This is a rough stretch for me.
Real tree or fake tree?
Real tree. Come on. What do you think I am?
I know. But some people are a disgrace and they get the fake.
Did you get yours yet?
No.
Okay, so
probably this weekend.
Yeah, is it too early this weekend or no? This is the right time?
No, not at all. No, okay. I think this is the right. I like having the tree up for the bowl games and the playoffs and the Saturday NFL games. Get the nice lights.
It's
very
best,
relaxing, very peaceful. Yeah. Yeah, but no, fit real tree always. God, I'm terrified to see what they cost with the inflation that's going on everything.
It's got
to
be at least $100, I would
think.
Yeah,
like right? I get a small shitty tree and like I usually pay 60, 70. Yeah. I don't want a big monster tree. It's too much. So I get like a nice one, but like I usually go 6 foot, 6-7 foot.
Right.
And those are usually like 60, 70. So I'm terrified to see what they cost this year.
And they've gone up. And then the tip. Yeah, you're talking about 100, potentially 120, maybe more, depending on the size that you get. So it's wild. Yeah,
exactly. All right, Sal. Be well.
All right. We'll see you next week.
All right. All right. My thanks to Richard Deitch and Sal Licata for doing the pod this week. If you've missed any recent episodes, dip into the archives and check them out. Subscribe to the SI Media Podcast. Leave a review. Recent guests include Mike Tirico, Kevin Burkhart, Joe Buck, Kevin Clark, Jim Nance, Chris Russo, Dan Le Batard. Listen to those pods if you haven't yet. Download, subscribe, rate, leave a review on Apple. We'll read it in an upcoming Train of Thought segment. All right. We'll see you next week right here on the SI Media Podcast. Stay safe and take care.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.